believe that 2016 should be and could be a better year than 2015, no matter how good 2015 was. Yep. Well, that's good, because you need to be thinking, you need to be thinking upward, you need to be thinking expansion, you're thinking getting better, right? So even though I'm sure that 2015 was good, we can expect 2016 to be even better. Well, is there something that you could do? Is there something that you could do to make that happen? You think there is? Well, you know what? I'm glad you're here this morning, because I'm actually going to show you how you can make it happen. And I'm going to give you one single principle from the Word of God that will guarantee it. Just one. Is that easy enough? All right. So we're going to give you one single principle, and then I'm telling you that if you apply this principle, it undoubtedly will take place. I'm going to give you the most important principle, because listen to this. Everything is second to first. See how smart I am. I figured that all out by myself, eh? Everything is second to first. Well, just to let you know, Candy, that was a remarkable word that you gave. You don't know how remarkable it was. Now, was it the first time that you've actually spoken that kind of a prophetic type word? Is that the first time you've done that? You've done that before? Okay. All right. Well, wonderful, because you just preached my whole sermon. So that's awesome. So just to recap then what Candy said. Let me ask you this question. What is first in your life? What is first in your life? Is it your job? Is it your career? Is it your marriage? Is it your children? Is it the TV? Is it a hobby? Is it Jesus? What is it that is first in your life? Sports maybe? Well, you know what? Why don't we let Jesus answer that question by asking us making a very probing statement. The scripture that Candy quoted, Matthew 6:21. No, she didn't. She quoted one. I'm going to get to her on the one she quoted in a minute. Matthew 6:21, and Jesus said this: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I want you to understand this word treasure. I looked it up in the Greek to try and give an expansion to what the word means. And it means, the Greek word is thesaurus, which is very similar to what we use when we do word expansions. Thesaurus. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually comes from that. And it means wealth. That's what it means. So what Jesus said is, where your wealth is, that's where your heart will be also. But now, if we took it wealth and we think of it only in terms of financial wealth, then that would be misleading. So what elements make up your treasure? What elements make up this thing that your heart will go after? Firstly, I do believe wealth is important, and it would be right in there, right in that group. That would be all your possessions, your assets, your money, whatever. That would be right in there. Secondly, I would think your time would be a treasure, don't you think? Your time? Because once you've spent your time, you can't get it back. This is one of those possessions, once gone, it's gone forever. And that's why I really don't like the term wasting time. Because it's one thing you don't ever want to waste, is time. And then thirdly would be your talents. What talents do you have? What talents did God give you? What talents that you were born with? If you're not using them, you're actually abusing them. God gave you some talents to use, and he wants you to use these talents for the kingdom's sake, right? So an investment of your treasure and your wealth would be using your God-given talents for the kingdom of God, right? Amen. Well, come on in, folks. We've reserved seats for you right in the front. Give Bill and Annette a great hand clap. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I traveled all the way down from Orange County just to be with you. The only Sunday they have off the whole year. And they've said, we'd just like to come and sit in the service and be here. Fortunately, they missed the worship. Something came up, but we're so proud, so impressed that you would want to come and do that. Thank you so much. You're very welcome. All right. So we're talking about this morning the principle of first. And I believe it's probably one of the most important principles in the entire Bible, the principle of first. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And the element of your treasure is made up of these three: wealth, time, and talents. Now, if you look back over the last day, week, month, or even year, so if you look back over 2015 in particular, and have a look at where you allocated your time and your wealth. Where did you spend your time and your wealth? On what did you spend them? That would give you a very good indication as to what you think is important to you. Because that's your money will follow and your time will follow. You'll invest your time and your life into what you think supports. So that would indicate what your treasure might be. And it might shock you because you might find out that actually eating is your treasure. Okay, you might find out that actually sleeping is your treasure, all right? Or driving the freeways to work is your treasure. Okay, but anyway, what do you think is the most important thing? Can you single out something that would be the most important thing? I would think Jesus. What about you? Amen? I would think Jesus would be. So let Jesus now, I'm going to ask Jesus if he would show us and guarantee the results of making this principle, the first principle, when he asked him to introduce it from his word to us and show you how important it is. I'm going to give you the guarantee that comes with it. And this is the scripture that Candy quoted during her prophetic word, Matthew 6 and 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about 2016. Right? So first of all, put the kingdom first and his righteousness. Well, his righteousness means to be right standing with him, which means relationship, to be in right standing with him. So put God first, or seek the kingdom first, and then make sure that you have a good standing relationship with him. And if you did that, you won't have to worry about 2016. You won't have to be concerned about 2016. Because 2016 is going to take care of itself, and you're actually going to get blessed in 2016 if you'll put God first and your relationship with him first. So that's not difficult to do, all right? The thing is this, how do you know if you are putting him first? How do you know if you're putting the kingdom first? That's the question. Because many of us in our hearts or in our minds, we think we are, but we might not be. So we're going to have a look at a few things to find out if indeed we are putting God first and if we're putting his kingdom first in our lives. So absolute priority, let's not get away from it, your relationship with God, number one relationship. But how it shows up in your life that it is in fact the number one relationship is by what you're doing with the kingdom. Where is the kingdom in your life? Remember, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and your relationship with him. So if your relationship with him is number one, then it should show in your daily life where your wealth is going, where your treasure is going, as to how you're conducting yourself in relationship to the kingdom of God. Yes? All right. So, according to this scripture, the things that you need in life, the things that you'll need in 2016, can only be given to you by God if the principle of first is being applied in your life. Let me say that again. See, every one of us sitting here is hoping that God's going to do something extra for us in 2016. There's not a single person sitting here thinking, I sure hope God takes away some things from me in 2016. Like, I just have so much, you know, I hope you take something away. Anybody sitting here thinking that? No. Everybody's sitting here thinking, I hope God does something more, something better, some increase in 2016. So listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you now. Listen carefully. He cannot give you those things that you're hoping for. He cannot give you the improvements that you want in 2016 unless you have the principle of first in place. You'll be bashing your head against a brick wall. It's not going to work. Hoping and a praying and whatever, it's not going to work until you have principle one in place, the first in place. You agree with me? Yes. All right, good. Thank you, amen. It is everything. So The reason is this, because if the principle of first is not in place, then your whole life is out of order. Have you ever noticed that I call this the cork principle? You know, cork always wants to shoot to the top of the water. And whatever is a priority in your life will want to shoot to the top of the water. That priority will want to shoot to the top. It'll override God, it'll override family, it'll override everything else. Whatever is your number one, that cork principle will shoot to the top. And that means that everything else is out of order. How easy is that? Yeah. It's very easy for your career, your job, your sports, whatever it is that is demanding your time to pop to the top of your life. And when it does, if you're allowed to do that, it'll push everything out of order below that. And which means principle of first is not working. God can't add to your life the things he wants to add to your life because he's no longer number one. Something else has taken his place. Okay? All right. So let's examine this principle. Jesus introduced it to us. Let's examine it again. In Matthew 22 this time, the principle of first, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." That doesn't leave room for anything else. Like all, you know, I looked at all in the Greek and it means all. All your mind, all your soul, all your heart. I mean, it just means everything. Love him with everything. And this is the first and great commandment. Here we have the principle of first again. This is the first of all the commandments. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. As Candy was saying, if you lost your first love, then something has crept in and taken some place in your heart, has pushed Jesus somewhere into the shadows or pushed something into the background, and that burning fire first love is no longer a priority. It's no longer the top. See that? Love, Jesus said, love God with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind, and this is the first and great commandment. So, undoubtedly, now we've settled on this. Undoubtedly, loving God is the most important first that we can have. Most important first that you can have. And since loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, that sounds like the foremost thing. Everything other than that has got to be second place. Everything is second place underneath that. All right. Now, apart from loving God, you have to trust him. Let's look at the principle of first when it comes to trust. You have to trust God first. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." There it goes again. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. Loving God is not the same as trusting God. Loving God is not the same as trusting God. I'm going to tell you a personal story, and some of you have heard it, but it's good to hear it again. If you haven't heard it, it's quite a dramatic story. Jackie had had a stroke in 1999, so 16 years ago, and she lost the left hemisphere of the brain in the stroke. We didn't know how bad the stroke was, but she was blind. She was mute. She couldn't speak, and she was completely paralyzed, right-hand side. She had catheters in her, breathing tubes. She was at the point of death, and her brain was swelling up. The good part was swelling. The part that had been damaged was swelling up and crushing the good part into the skull of the inside wall of the skull. And the neurosurgeon wanted to operate. The brain surgeon wanted to operate, make a hole in her head, and let the brain swell out, because he said to me, she has 2 hours left to live. The brain swelling was pushing down her spinal cord, and there was nowhere to go. So she was going to die. And I brought the family together. We were in the hospital, emergency room, obviously. She'd been there for 4 days. And I asked Hayne and Cindy and Ingrid, my sister and her sister, Jackie's sister, Jennifer, Elijah, what do you think? What would she do? And we discussed before we prayed. Before we went to the Father with this thing, what we thought. And we all agreed, literally, that Jackie would not want to live and survive and be in a survival mode of such severe paralysis that if this thing went wrong, an infection got into the brain, which would have happened after 4 days, that she'd be left completely as a vegetable. She would not want to stay behind and be a burden for anybody else. And she was ready to meet the Lord, 48 years old. She's ready to go, serve God, she's ready to go. But we didn't believe that that was really the reward of the righteous. We knew that this had come from the evil one. And so we had some scripture to base our faith on. And we prayed and we said, Lord, we're not going to let the doctors operate. We're going to leave her in your hands. You're the best physician, and we love the doctors and we trust the doctors, but we trust you more. We trust you more in this life and death situation. So we said no. Well, the brain surgeon was very upset with me. What I didn't know is that he went through, with Haim sitting at the back there, he went through to where Jackie was lying in the bed, and he woke her up, and then he said to her, I need your permission to do an operation. And he explained to Jackie, who couldn't speak back and who was blind, that we need your permission to do this operation. Obviously, since I had power of attorney, I had made the decision, but that could only be overridden by Jackie. Well, unknown to me, and which was a great surprise, Jackie opened her eyes, and she spoke out for the first time since the stroke, and she said, my husband will make the call. And she went mute again and continued being blind. Hain came out of the room to come and see me. I was in the passage down somewhere else in the hospital. And Hain told me what happened. I was not there. And I said, son, it doesn't sound like something that mom would say. And he said, Dad, I was there. And like, this was crazy. I was there. She spoke. And this is what she said. You will make the decision, Becky. You'll make the call. Well, right there, all the strength left my body. I just fell to the floor in the hospital, just weeping, just fell to the floor. And you see, here's the thing. We'd been married about 27 years, I think, at that time, give or take. And I knew that we had a love relationship. She's the love of my life, and vice versa. And I knew that we have a love relationship. But what I didn't know till that moment was how much she trusted me. Live or die, you make the decision. I had to make the decision on whether she lived or whether she died. Now, I pray that none of you ever have to be in a position like that with a loved one, because I don't think there is a more difficult decision you'll ever have to make, because if you're wrong, they are gone. And you have to live with that for the rest of your life, that you made the wrong decision, and they're now dead. And while I was lying on the floor, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, son, that's what it means for me to be your Lord, not just your Savior. You know that I love you and I know you love me, but do you trust me? Do you trust me sufficiently for me to make those decisions for you? And that's the bottom line. You see, putting God first or say, well, I love him is one thing. Trusting him with all of your heart is quite another. Do you honestly let God lead you in even the small things in life? So that's the challenge that I want you to know. If you seek God first and you seek his will, he will lead you the right way. So put God first. Again, we have to go back to the Old Testament in Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. If there's no other gods before him or ahead of him, then he's the first God. So he's number one. Put God first. Don't have anything else ahead of God. So listen carefully now. Anything that you have placed above God is actually your God. You don't have to say that again, or did you get it? Either he's first or he isn't. And so today, going forward, looking forward to 2016, we've got to decide who is first in our life. Is it Jesus? Is it God? Does he really occupy that first place? Do we love him above all things? Do we trust him above? Are we seeking him first above everything else? And if that's so, then you can expect to have these blessings multiplied in your life. All right. Here's a question for you. Which is the first day of the week, Saturday or Sunday? How many are not going to answer me no matter what I ask you? Okay, I see some hands there. It always surprises me when I look at the calendar, because I plan my week out, and I usually plan my week to finish on Sunday. I prepare and I do all these things and I work it out. Sunday's the big day. I reach pinnacle and this is the day we've got to do the sermon. Everything else goes on. So I kind of plan towards it. The only problem is Sunday is the first day of the calendar. So it's a little confusing. But we know that God created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. The seventh day he rested is the Sabbath, which is Saturday, not Sunday. Sunday's the first day, all right? So we're looking at the principle of first. Principle of first, the Sunday. Hello, what are you doing on Sunday? Now, here's the thing. What day of the week did Jesus rise from the dead? What day of the week? Sunday, first day of the week. Mark 16, verse 9. And when he rose early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he'd cast out seven demons. I don't know if you know this, but there's more than 160 references in the New Testament to first. That's a bunch. That's a bunch. So it's obviously important. So on the first day, he rises from the dead on Sunday. When did he appear to the disciples? What day of the week? Come on, by now you should guess. We're 30 minutes into the sermon. By now you should have been, give it a guess. See, a first day. Yeah, look at that. See, you're smart, man. You're quick. Praise the Lord. What a quick bunch. John 20:19. Then the same day that he was raised from the dead at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst. So he was raised the first day. He appeared to Mary the first day. He came to the disciples the first day. He was raised on Sunday, first day of the week. There's something about first. How many know he was the first born again from the dead, the Bible says. Amen. The Bible also tells us that the just shall live by faith. So faith has to be the number one thing that you got to live by. Shall live by faith. If you're not living by faith, you're dying. It's not an option. You have to live by faith. All right? And so he came to meet the disciples on the first. So the disciples said, let's make a doctrine of the first. Why don't we all get together and have church on the first? And that's exactly what they did. In Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. When did the disciples get together? What day of the week? First. See, that's how it became a tradition now in the New Testament, in the age that we're living, that we would have church on Sunday, the first day of the week. Because it happened in the Bible. That's when they started to meet. It's the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. The day that Jesus appeared to them was all Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. And then they said, you know what? Let's get together on Sunday and break bread, first day of the week. You with me? All right. So you see, Saturday night services is sin. Don't you ever suggest that to us. Man, if you need a Saturday night service, have one. Thank God that you need one. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So, first of the week. How many believe family should be first? Now you're confused. I thought God was first. Let's go have a look at John 1 and verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard John the Baptist speak, and that John the Baptist referred them to Jesus. So he went and followed Jesus. And then verse 41 said the first thing. Everybody say the first thing. We're back to the principle of first. I think when you leave today, you'll know what I was preaching about. What was I preaching about today? Principle of first. How easy is that? It's going to be one sermon you'll never forget. Principle of first. But it's good to hear this for 2016. Principle of first. So now Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, follows Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was that he went to find Simon, his brother, and tell him. The first thing you need to do when you find the truth about Jesus is go to your family. The first people you go to is your family. Moms or dads or brothers or sisters, it doesn't matter. You go to your family. What do you say to them? We have found Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Watch this. This is what he said. We have found, it goes and tells him, we have found the Christ, the Messiah. But it doesn't stop there. Listen what he did. And he brought him to Jesus. Your first responsibility when you come to the knowledge of Jesus and who he is to go and tell your family, and then don't stop there. You bring them to Jesus. Are you listening to me? You need to listen to me. You are the central key figure in that family. God touched your life. You are the one who's to explode into that whole family. You're the catalyst to reach the family. God is depending upon you. He's looking to you. Don't you then be shirking your duty and say, well, God, somebody, let somebody else speak to them. My family knows I'm crazy. They know that I'm a this and I'm a that, and they're never going to listen to me. That's exactly why God touched you first. Because when you go and tell them I found Jesus, they're going to say, that's got to be a miracle. Seriously, I know you. I know you. You just gone, I mean, you're just crazy, you're a religious nut, whatever. Yep, but come and meet him. I'm telling you, come and meet him. Okay? It's that fervor that you need to. Family first, after you've been touched. The principle of first. Now, this goes on. We've already looked at what your treasure consists of, your wealth, your time, and everything else. But let's talk about the principle of first in your finances. Yes, there is a principle of first in your finances. Watch this. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions. That's your wealth. And with the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. Notice it didn't say second fruits. The first fruit of all of your increase, not some of your increase. This is not a partial thing. It's all God, all the way, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and 10% of all. Are you out there? All right, don't go home yet. And if you do that, all these things shall be added. Watch verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Well, we don't have barns today, but we do have bank accounts. Bank accounts will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, you know, whenever you see that word new wine, it speaks of the Holy Spirit. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So here God is saying, if you'll honor God with your possessions, with the first fruits of all of your income, if you'll take the tithe, first fruits, and honor God with that, then you'll have plenty. You'll have plenty stored up in the bank, and you're going to have a flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. Are you listening to me? You can't buy the move of the Spirit in your life, but you can block the flow of the Spirit in your life. Let me say that one more time. You can't buy the flow of the Holy Spirit, but you can block the flow of the Holy Spirit. But that really went over like a lead balloon. Wow. I didn't expect that to be such a revelation. The truth of the matter is, you want your vats to overflow with new wine. You've got to keep the channel open between you and God. Seeking God first, keep the channel open. And if you are honoring him with your finances, you see, honor God with your finances. What does it mean to honor God with your finances? Well, I'm acknowledging him as my source. That's really what it is. I'm putting him first. I'm saying, God, you're the one that did this for me. I'm honoring you. I'm not honoring my boss, as good as my job is. I'm not honoring my job. I'm not honoring my education and my degree and everything else. As good as that is, I'm honoring God. I'm saying, God, you are my source. I'm giving you all the honor for what's happened in my life. I'm recognizing you as the source. So here is the tithe. I'm bringing it to you in honor of what you have done. Correct? So if you don't honor him with the tithe and you keep the tithe back, what are you doing? Dishonoring. You can either honor or dishonor. There's nothing in between that. You either honor or you dishonor. So you acknowledge him and you honor him. So God has set the principle of first place to increase and to multiply your resources. Now, tithing is the principle that achieves this. Keeping God first. If you will apply the tithing principle, you will keep God first in your financial realm. Now remember, tithe is just a Hebrew word for one-tenth. That's all it is, one-tenth. So the tithe is one-tenth, which is the first portion of your gross. The first portion of your gross. Not your net, your gross. If you take it from your net, that means you just put the government ahead of God. Selah. Think about that for a moment. Okay? Yeah, we need to give our taxes. That's fine. Provides military and infrastructure, all those kind of things. We need to do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But when you start thinking that helping the government and helping all those things comes ahead of giving to God, then you've got things upside down. So give the gross, 10% from the gross to God. Listen now. In Malachi 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? And yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings is the answer. How, you're under a curse. The whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole 10%, the whole tithe, into the storehouse. Storehouse is the local church, that there may be food in my house. Now test me. Any place in the Bible where God allows you to test him. Test me in this, in the tithe, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. There's the multiplication part. And I will prevent the pests from devouring your crop, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord of hosts. All right. Now, if you're writing notes, keep this, make a note of this. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is returning. Tithing is returning to God what's already his. When you tithe, you're actually not coming to God and say, look what I'm bringing you. You're not bringing him anything. The Bible clearly tells us the tithe belongs to him. It's his. All right? You put God first by giving the tithe. So a tithe is not giving, it's actually returning to God what's his. So if you don't bring the tithe, what are you doing? You're robbing God. How is it possible? You're keeping back that which belongs to him. Can you see how easily it would be to fall into a financial curse? Because you'd be taking God's money, you'd be robbing from God, and you'd be keeping it for yourself. So the principle of first does this. You bring back to God his. And the principle of first blesses the 90% that you have over and multiplies that so that it achieves more than you would have under a curse of keeping the 100%. That's where trusting God matters. You say, I love God, I love God. Yeah, but do you trust him with your money? That's how you can check. Do you trust him? Did I bring the tithe to God or didn't I? If I don't bring the tithe, it means I don't trust him. But Pastor Henry, you don't understand. I can't pay my bills. No, I do understand. And I can tell you why you can't pay your bills. I know exactly why you can't pay your bills. Because you're not tithing. You say, but Pastor Henry, that's I can't tithe. I said, no. It's not that you can't tithe. It's that you refuse to tithe. Now you see, I can talk like this because 90% of the people here are tithers. So I'm only talking for the people that are not here, that are listening to me on the radio and over TV and through the streaming thing that we've got going and all that kind of stuff. Streaming thing. Okay. Yeah, it's streaming. I'm just making fun of it. Because people are listening to this now screaming. I'm actually trying to let you know how blessed you are because you can keep 100% and have it cursed, or you can keep 90% and have that blessed. Yes. Until you got the principle of first operating, your finances are out of order. They're out of whack. They cannot be blessed of God because they're out of order, because you're actually not putting God first in the realm of finances. Make sense? We're talking about the principle of first. Okay? So, if your financial world is confused, in disarray, they're probably out of order for some reason. But once you bring the 10% to God, the rest becomes blessed. It becomes blessed of God. Now, let me finish off. I have one more scripture to look at, and we'll be done. We're talking about multiplication and increase. And we're talking about now in the realm of finances. I want to show you something that will absolutely revolutionize you in your thinking. Are you ready for it? All right. Let's read about the multiplication and increase from the principle of first, found in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now watch verse 8. God is able to make how much? All grace. No second place. All grace abound towards you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things. There's no lack there. This is super duper over and abundantly above. This is so much that you don't know what to do with. That's what the scripture says. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Then he says here, the reason you have the sufficiency is that you have abundance for every good work. Abundance for every good work. God wants you to be generous for every good work that he sends your way. But he's asking you to do that out of your giving, not out of your tithe. So if you're watching a good TV show, good ministry, and you go, oh, I really want to give him something. So my tithe this month is going to be $200. I'm going to send him $50 for my tithe. Now you've just messed up, because that whole $200 has come to the storehouse. The $50 you want to send that ministry has got to come out of your giving. You understand? It's over and above the tithe. So this now, listen to what it says. Beginning of verse 9, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed, God, supply seed to the sower and bread for food. May God supply and multiply the seed. Listen carefully to the tense. You have sown. That's past tense. See, a lot of times what we hear is this: God's going to multiply the seed so you can sow out more. What I want to draw your attention to is this. I believe that's true. I'm not arguing about that. But I want to draw your attention to this. This particular scripture says that he's going to multiply the seed you have already sown. All the money that you've put out, all those gifts that you've given to those ministries, to those radios, to those other ministries, all the seed you've sown, even to the promise, it doesn't matter. Watch what God's going to do. He's going to multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, the first principle of creating wealth in the world, the wealth teaching, they will say to this: if you're going to get wealthy, put your money to work. How many have heard that? Yeah. Only three. Not four. That's why the rest of you are still struggling. You have to have your money work for you. That's the only way you're going to actually get ahead. For example, if you bought a home and that home increased in value, that would be your money working for you. You understand now what I'm talking about? Okay. So you have to have your money working as well as you're working. Now, this is what the scripture is teaching us. It's exactly what he's saying to you. The money that you've invested into the kingdom is working for you. The seed you have sown is multiplying and increasing. You've got money in the kingdom working for you. I want this to sink in. Because you see, a lot of times people say, oh, Pastor Andrew, I'm doing the absolute best I can. I'm doing, yes, amen. But you need to get a little faith about what you have done. You need to look back at 2015 and say, oh, Jesus, all that I put in 2015, that's still working for me? Yeah. He's increasing it. He's multiplying it. Doesn't it feel good? He's at work. He hasn't forgotten about that. That's at work for you. He's multiplying the seed you have sown and increasing the fruits of your righteousness. So, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God. This is what brings the focus of the kingdom to first place in your life. Remember we were speaking about, I love God with all my heart, I put him first, but how do I show that the kingdom is also first, or my relationship with God is also, how do I put the kingdom first? One of the primary ways you can put the kingdom first, over and above praying on a regular day, coming to church prayer meeting, reading your book, that's all putting God first, right? Every day, every day, every day. Not only on Sundays, but every day, every day. And the other way is by giving tithes and then giving over and above the tithes. By doing that, you're taking your very life, which is your finances, converted from time to dollars. Your life converted from time to dollars is what you got paid for working. Those are hours, reps and hours. So when I give my money to God, I'm giving my life to God. When I give my money to the kingdom, it's my life I'm giving to him. He sees that as you're giving your life to me. He understands that you're giving your life because you've been working out there giving your life. So all of you who are tithing, you're already part-time working in the kingdom. 3 days a month. Is that too difficult to complicate? Could you figure that out? No. If you tithe, that represents 10%. 10% of 30 days is 3 days. You're working 3 days full-time for the Lord. Amen. Amen?